talking about what's going on politically, there is a case that came down, and it had to do with what was going on with Wisconsin and the balloting and when the when votes could be counted, extension of the counting past the actual election date. There are a few cases that are before the court in terms of the elections, but this one was a stunner because it goes far, far beyond just the Supreme Court saying okay to a state that is arguing against, in this case, the Democratic Party, that was fighting the Wisconsin order. I want to go to Erwin Chemerinsky, the dean of the University of California, Berkeley School of Law, one of the noted constitutional scholars out there. Erwin, can you tell us a little bit about the case itself and what it means? Because I think that is critically important.
Of course. Great to talk with you. A federal district court judge in Wisconsin said that we should extend the time for absentee ballots to be received by the state to be counted. Instead of their having to come in on November 3rd, he said so long as they were received by November 9th, they would still count. And he did so in light of the tremendous increase in absentee ballots being cast, also because of delays in the post office. He also said that a Wisconsin rule that election workers had to live in their county should be suspended because of the shortage of election workers because of the pandemic and make it easier for them to staff the election in the polling places. The Seventh Circuit, the Federal Court of Appeals, put that on hold, and the Democratic Party went to the Supreme Court and said, put back in effect this district court ruling to make it possible for people to vote and to make sure the polls can be staffed. And the Supreme Court yesterday, 5-3, refused the request of the Democratic Party. In other words, the district court order can't go into effect.
Now, as I was reading this article on Vox.com, it was the statement that Gorsuch wrote in terms of federal law or the Supreme Court overruling state court decisions. And he effectively said, since the states have the constitutional right and the duty to mandate elections, Supreme Court's not going to get involved. Do you find that as important as I did?
I find it very disturbing. The right to vote is a fundamental right. We're in the midst of a pandemic. And what the district court was trying to do was make sure that all the absentee ballots that are sent in a timely way would be counted, and also make sure that there's enough workers for the polling places. And the majority of the justices rejected that. It was 5-3, the five conservative justices then on the court, Roberts, Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh, ruling in favor of the Republican Party position. The three liberal justices, Kagan, Writing, joined by Breyer and Sotomayor, dissented. What this means in the larger scope is that federal district courts can't take action to preserve the right to vote before this election. Now, what I find disconcerting about that is we're at a time when the president and the Republicans say, let's not facilitate absentee ballots. Let's not make it easier for people to vote. And the conservatives on the Supreme Court are following that party line.
And that's the part that's scary, where the argument the court has become political. Even though, and I can understand on a constitutional basis, you can be conservative or not conservative. Roe v. Wade, various other aspects, the constitutionality of Obamacare. I can see an issue that's legitimate before the court. But I'm looking at the court becoming a political animal. Do you see that?
I think in this area it is. I mean, we do have a time when the Republican position is, let's make it harder to have absentee ballots. And the Democratic position is, it's a pandemic, let's make it easier to have absentee ballots. And the Supreme Court split with the justices appointed by Republican presidents taking the Republican position and the justices appointed by Democratic presidents taking the Democratic position. And I do find that disconcerting, and I hope it doesn't end up deciding the election. I hope we don't repeat 2000, where it was Bush versus Gore.
Let's say it was reversed. And it was the Democratic Party pushing for this, or the Democrats, and trying to suppress the vote, as the accusation is against the Republicans, based on mail-in ballot, is pro-Democratic Party, assuming that's the case. Would you see the court going the same way, or would it go the other way?
I wish I could say to you that the justices would adhere to their principles, that the Republican-appointed justice will say, federal courts shouldn't get involved in protecting the right to vote before the election, and the Democratic justice would say, federal courts need to protect the right to vote. But I don't think it's coincidence that all of the Republican appointees to the Supreme Court are taking the position preferred by the president and the Republican Party, and the Democratic-appointed justices are taking the position appointed by Democrats. They're human beings that live in society, and they see the world, they see the issue, the same as others with their ideology.
And, do you see the court going in that direction for the next generation, where politics supersede the view that that a court should remain completely independent?
Our society is so deeply divided on partisan lines now. As you said just a moment ago, who would have ever thought that the reaction to the pandemic would be defined in partisan terms? And in terms of the next generation, Amy Coney Barrett, who was sworn in yesterday as a justice, is 48 years old. If she remains on the court until she's 87, the age which Justice Ginsburg died, she'll be a justice into the year 2059.
It's astounding, astounding times, Irwin, and you must be having the time of your life in the constitutional law classes. I mean, they're probably
so frightened.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of us are, for sure. Irwin, thank you, as always, for your input. Irwin,
anytime.
All right. Thanks much. We call Irwin sometimes half an hour before we ask him to be on the radio with us. And he's always there for us.